A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John. Jesus revealed himself again to his disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. He revealed himself in this way. Together were Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, Zebedee's sons, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We also will come with you." So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. When it was already dawn, Jesus was standing on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, have you caught anything to eat?" They answered him, "No." So he said to them, "Cast the net over the right side of the boat, and you will find something." So they cast it and were not able to pull it in because of the number of fish. So the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he tucked in his garment, for he was lightly clad, and jumped into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, for they were not far from shore, only about 100 yards, dragging the net with the fish. When they climbed out on the shore, they saw a charcoal fire with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you just caught." So Simon Peter went over and dragged the net ashore, full of 153 large fish. Even though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come, have breakfast." And none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they realized it was the Lord. Jesus came over and took the bread and gave it to them, and in like manner, the fish. This is now the third time Jesus was revealed to his disciples after being raised from the dead. The Gospel of the Lord. The experience of the crucifixion and death of Jesus was no doubt devastating for the disciples. The one with whom they had lived for 3 years, the one in whom they had placed all their hopes and dreams, the one on whom they had counted to bring about transformation to their world and lives, was dead. And they were left with their thoughts, their memories, their fears. What to do next? With their whole world turned upside down, Peter and some of the disciples decided to go fishing, to return to the life that they had once known, had made a living on, before Jesus entered their midst. On the one hand, to return to fishing was perhaps a way of finding some level of normalcy, of comfort. At the very least, it allowed them time to ponder all that had happened. But the results of practicing their trade that night simply matched the inner workings of their spirit: emptiness and disappointment. On the other hand, with the appearance of the Risen One on the shore of Tiberias, Peter and his companions discovered that returning to their previous life was not what the last 3 years nor the last 3 days were all about. As I've come to experience in my own life, and as a friend has often reiterated, how can one return to a way of life that had once been enough and satisfying when one has been touched by the Christ? The simple answer is that one cannot. For Peter and the disciples, fishing was familiar, the work was the same, but they were not, because they had been immersed in the life of Jesus. Nothing would ever be the same again for them. The breakfast meal on the shore was a reminder of the life they had shared with Jesus and a re-immersion into who they were called to be, not simply fishermen, but fishers of men and women. With this meal, the disciples experienced yet again the undeniable love, the abundant blessing of life and nourishment, and the saving and healing forgiveness of Jesus. This meal opened the disciples' eyes to the awareness that all they had come to know and experience with and in Jesus was not some empty pipe dream only to end in death. Rather, the dream was reality, brought to fruition in the death and resurrection of the Christ. What they would come to discover in the power of the Spirit was their own role in bringing that same awareness to others. We see that evidenced in today's first reading, when Peter and John boldly proclaim that it is in the name of Jesus the Christ that healing was brought to the crippled man. And what of us? No doubt there are times in our own lives, yes, even during these glorious Easter days, when we tend to get bogged down by the death, emptiness, and devastation all around us. The violence of war, the heartache of abuse in all its manifestations, the vitriol of opposing opinions and beliefs, the agony of suffering from illness. Even the earth itself seems to be crying out in the recent quakes of Haiti, Chile, Turkey, Mexico, and Indonesia. Like Peter and the disciples, we wonder what to do next. And we contemplate returning to a time in our lives, in our history, when life seemed to be so much simpler, easier. Yet we are an Easter people, a people of life, of hope, of healing. We have been touched by the life of the risen one, and so we cannot simply go fishing, if you will. Rather, we are called to immerse ourselves yet again and again and again in the life and presence of the Christ. Peter, John, Nathaniel, Thomas, and the others, they had their breakfast on the shore, the meal that opened their eyes to who they were and whose they were. We have our Eucharist, the meal where we too experience the undeniable love, the abundant blessing of life and nourishment, and the saving and healing forgiveness of Jesus. It is the meal that transforms us from being people of fear, of despair, of anger, into a people of trust, of hope, of peace. It is this meal that we celebrate every week, every day if we so wish, that reminds us of the Paschal mystery and re-immerses us into our very identity as the body of Christ. May these Easter days find us so transformed into the truth of who and whose we are, that we too live into the reality of the power of the Spirit and proclaim boldly and courageously that indeed Christ is risen. He is here in our midst.